The Gopher Legislative Advisory Board was created by Executive Order 2020-06. That order is publicly available on the governor's website. Today's meeting is an official meeting of the board, is open to the public, and will be run in a manner compliant with RSA 91A. Today's meeting is also being recorded. Should you be a speaking participant and not wish to be recorded, you may disconnect now. The recording from today's meeting will be transcribed and posted on the Gopher website. My name is Taylor Caswell. I am the Director of the Governor's Office of Emergency Relief and Recovery, and I will facilitate today's meeting. Because the board is meeting by phone under RSA 91A, there are a few initial logistics that we need to establish. First, each of us must state our names, where we are located, who is with us in the room. I'll start. My name is Taylor Caswell. I'm the director of Gopher here in the Gopher office at 1 Eagle Square in Concord. In the room with me is Joe Dorian, Lisa English, Nancy Smith, and Rhonda Hensley. President Donna Soucy.
This is Donna Soucy. I'm at my office in Manchester, and I am alone.
Speaker Shurtleff.
Steve Shurtleff. I'm at my residence in Penacook, and I am alone.
Senator Morse.
Chuck Morse. I'm at my office in Atkinson, New Hampshire, and I am alone.
Representative Hinch.
This is Dick Hinch. I'm at my office in Merrimack, and I am alone.
Senator D'Alessandro.
This is Senator D'Alessandro. I'm in my home in Manchester. I am alone.
Representative Wallner.
This is Mary Jane Wallner. I'm in my car in Hanover, New Hampshire, and my husband is with me.
Very good. Senator Reagan, have you joined us?
Yes, Senator Reagan, I'm in my office by myself.
Very good. And Representative Hennessy.
This is Erin Hennessy. I'm at home in Littleton, and I am by myself.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. As we move through our agenda today, each board member and anyone else speaking is asked to identify themselves before speaking. Should you choose to take any votes today, they must be done by roll call following the process that we have just used. Finally, before we begin today's presentations, please remember to use 5-star if you would like to ask a question. In addition, presenters are asked to also hit 5-star when their turn comes up, as that allows us to unmute your line. I will note that the last time the board met was on Wednesday, August 26th, and at that time you asked to hear updated reports from the Mascoma Community Health Center, and you have been provided this report for your review. You should have today's agenda in front of you, and to kick us off this afternoon, I think we have Steve Onan to join us and give us an update from the Hospital Association.
Great. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. It's a pleasure to be with you today. I shared with the Gopher staff a PowerPoint presentation as well as an Excel spreadsheet, which I trust all of you have. This is an update from the files that we've been providing to you over the last several months, which we pledged to continue to do throughout the pandemic, and we will continue to do that. I won't go through the full PowerPoint presentation. That's something that we've been through before, but I really want to focus in on slides 7, 8, and 9, which really highlight the financial impact. But again, happy to discuss anything that you'd like. So let me just start briefly. The pandemic has obviously, as you all know, had significant implications for every sector of the economy, and it's certainly been the case for hospitals. The financial challenges have been significant. As you recall, back in March when hospitals and health systems around the country paused all non-urgent elective procedures in anticipation of the surge of COVID patients, that had a significant financial implication on hospitals across New Hampshire. And since the beginning of March to the end of September, hospitals have seen a reduction of about $516 million in revenue, and that's been offset, and we're very pleased with that, in federal and state grants of over $300 million. But when you look at the totality over that period through the end of September, we're still looking at statewide $200 million in losses, which are simply significant. And as we look out into the next several months to the end of the year, absent any additional federal or state relief, those losses look to potentially amount to another $100 million, but before the end of the year. Those losses are simply, staggering and really unsustainable. We appreciate all of the support that we've received, but we know that as we move forward, we're going to continue to need help to help our hospitals ensure that they can continue to be there for their patients and communities in this tremendous time of need. Hospitals have been working to reduce expenses. One of the challenging aspects of all of this is that, the cost of acquiring PPE and the like has risen astronomically. And while the supply chain has improved over the last several months, it certainly has not been, that challenge has not been solved, and hospitals are spending significantly more on the same PPE that they've been, purchasing over the years, multiple factors of increase. And that's not going to change, certainly anytime soon. You know, all hospitals have been affected by this pandemic. Certainly the hospitals in the southern tier of the state have seen the vast majority of COVID patients and certainly certainly need significant support to help them shoulder that burden. But that doesn't mean that all hospitals haven't suffered significant financial losses as a result of the pandemic. And we certainly recognize that we're going to need to continue to work together and partner with all of you, with the governor and his team, with the federal delegation and the federal government to ensure that we are able to continue to serve our patients and communities in the months and years to come. As we've said, we're really going to need help to help get us through to the other side. And I think, that's certainly been what has been the focus of this legislative advisory board back in the earlier part of the year, making a significant recommendation to support hospitals, and we very much appreciate that. And we will continue to provide updates to all of you. And as we continue to see where things are headed, we'll have a better understanding of what those needs will be in the coming months, and we will certainly share that with you. So, Mr. Chairman, my presentation was meant to be brief today, and I'd be happy to respond to any questions that you or the members of the Legislative Advisory Board might have.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. I think we could probably definitely take some questions. Senator Morse, if you have any preference on 10 or 15 minutes of questions here according to the agenda we have, is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay, great. That being the case, any questions for Steve? Representative Hinch.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Steve, for joining us today. So I do have a question for you. So according to my analysis, in aggregate, hospital net losses of $188 million is, according to my math, equal to about 5% of the expenses being $3.685 billion. St. Joseph's and Catholic Medical Center alone make up about, looks like 64% of the current hospital losses. So that would be about 120 out of 185 million. And I'm of the understanding that only 10 hospitals requested more funding in the last round of hospital grants. Five did not have any remaining eligible losses, and five received additional awards. Further, it's my understanding that there is still approximately $50 billion remaining in federal funds to be distributed through the HHS Provider Relief Fund. So can you share with us what your expectation is relative to the receipt of the of some portion of the $50 billion, and can you confirm that the calculations that I have in front of me are correct?
So the first question relative to the Provider Relief Fund in Washington, we understand that there's approximately $50 billion that remains, although it's unclear exactly how much that is, because one of the provisions that was included in one of the CARES Act bills was the ability for hospitals and others, providers around the country, to apply for funds to reimburse them for uncompensated care for those that had no insurance. So it's unclear how much of that will be spent in that manner. So as we know, there's roughly $50 billion left. How that will be distributed in New Hampshire, I don't know. I wish I did. That's certainly been one of the challenges that we've seen over the last several months, is some of the funding formulas have been somewhat inexact, and certainly have not always targeted those providers who've certainly borne the brunt of providing COVID care in this state. So I don't know the answer to that question. I wish I did, and we'll know more as the federal government distributes that. I would also say that, as we've all heard, the Congress has been unable to come together on a coronavirus relief package. There was some hope that they would do that back in September before they left for the October recess. That has not happened. There's still some potential that they could do more, and we're very hopeful that they will. After the election, when Congress comes back, we're hopeful that additional dollars will be put into those buckets that could be spent here in New Hampshire as well as around the country. As it relates to the specific losses, I'm not prepared to go through specific hospitals. What I can say is that of the $200 million in losses, certainly among the larger hospitals, those hospitals in the southern tier of the state certainly have suffered a significant loss of revenue as a result of the closure of non-urgent elective procedures, as has every hospital. And remember, as I said in my presentation, hospitals as they came into the pandemic were operating at very low margins, approximately 1.1% operating margin across the state, with a number of hospitals already operating in the red. So as we sort of entered into the pandemic, we were at our strongest point, and then we went things went south from there. So again, I have every expectation that there will be additional expenditures from the CARES Act Relief Fund in Washington. I don't know what that will be. We're obviously going to continue to watch this and to gauge and assess where everyone is, and to that extent, we will be sharing that with all of you and identifying what those potential needs will be as we go forward. And then lastly, I would just say, I would hope that we would continue to work in partnership to help ensure that our healthcare system and our hospitals are able to be there for the patients and communities who need them during this tremendous time of need.
Thank you.
Very good. Senator Susie, I assure you, is having a question.
Yes, thank you very much. Two quick questions, actually. The first was that you had identified PPE sourcing not being as much of a problem, but costs being far more significant. Are there other cost drivers, other materials that hospitals are having either difficulty sourcing or that have become far more expensive?
Things like staffing are an ongoing challenge. Given the tremendous need for whether it's nursing staff or others, those challenges continue to grow. And the cost for if you don't have that employee and you have to bring in agency nurses or other types of providers, those costs have gone up as well. Doing everything we can to mitigate those costs, but we can't eliminate those costs, because we need highly skilled staff to care for our patients. We need the equipment and services, pharmaceuticals and the like that we need. to care for those. And as it relates to the PPE, I would say, you know, again, the supply chain has certainly improved, but it has not gotten to the point where, you know, we can, you know, somebody can place an order today and have, you know, great confidence that that order is going to show up in a timely way when they need it, what and exactly what they need with, you know, the exact standards that they are looking for. Again, we've improved, but we have not solved that challenge. That's one of the greatest things as we talk to our hospitals that, you know, sort of that keeps them up at night, you know, can they access those types of things that they will need? You know, if we have a surge of patients, if we have more COVID patients, those things are really important because, you know, you have to be able to manage your COVID patients, but also the non-COVID patients. And we're going to have to learn how to do these things simultaneously. And one of the things we know we need is we need to be able to, you know, have the PPE so that we can ensure the health and safety of our staff as well as our patients and the communities.
Thank you for that, Mr. Arnott. It leads to my second question. It's actually a great segue because my second question was about staffing. And I know there was a period of time in sort of the peak of the pandemic when there were layoffs, and I was wondering how the staff recovery re-engagement process overall is working.
I think as hospitals have begun to bring back services over the last several months, we've seen employment come back. We certainly haven't seen all of those staff come back, but we're seeing a fair number of them come back. To be able to ensure that, you know, we can provide all of the services that our communities need. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, our hospitals feel very strongly about is to help ensure that they bring those healthcare heroes back to their hospitals to care for their patients.
Thank you.
Very good. Are there any other questions for Mr. Arnott? Okay. If there are not,
thank you very much. I appreciate it. And again, as always, we're happy to come back and provide an update at whatever time you'd like.
Very good. Thank you, Steve. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on our agenda here is some discussion items. The first one that we have here is the second round of gap funding. I believe this is a follow-up conversation for me that I was not previously present for, but maybe I might lean a little bit on Senator Morse to help us kick off that part of the conversation.
Sorry, I never knew. Basically, I think what the committee is trying to do is find out what level of funding has gone out under these categories and what's on the table that may be able to be moved to solve some of the problems that are on the list today. And I think as we're hearing from our, you know, local schools, I think we all have concerns there too. So we basically are looking to get updated on where we are with the funding that were already proposed.
So thanks, Senator. We're certainly able to answer any questions anybody has. As of right now, the number that we're working with in terms of unallocated funds is around $200 million. We've operationalized now about 50 different programs, and we've moved, I think, just over $1 billion in allocations thus far. So that's where we are. There is some conversation, obviously, around some of the potential uses for the funding going forward. We do have, of course, the December 30th deadline looming. I know that there are issues around business support, issues around education and others. My understanding is a lot of these conversations, and we lean to all of you to continue having those conversations and provide your input as part of our process. That's a pretty quick update. I mean, we can certainly drill down on any of these other questions with the staff that we have here at this point. But right now, I'm showing a couple of quick questions. Senator Morse, do you have anything in specific beyond that before we get some other questions and conversation?
Yeah, I think what the committee's, and I understand what you just said, but out of that billion, is it all out on the street and working already?
So yes, good question. We on the dashboard that actually we just released yesterday or this morning, you can get a good sense of how much money has been allocated out so far. I don't have it right here in front of me, but it is right in that billion-dollar category. So there are some funds that are reserve funds. There are some other funds that have not yet been fully deployed, but they are allocated. So in terms of getting a very specific number, that can be a little bit of a moving target on a day-to-day basis. So we've kind of gone with this with the $200 million number as a really good indicator in our view as to where we stand right now. Okay, I have Representative Hennessy with her hand raised. Representative.
Thank you, Commissioner Caswell, and welcome to your new role. I had actually put this on the agenda for this meeting because I just wanted to bring up that I'm still hearing from different types of businesses that either they've received funding or their estimate of what their loss was going to be was greatly under what they actually ended up losing for the year, and they're hoping that they'll be able to stay in business with some additional help. The other thing I heard from a nonprofit who was not able to get funding, and I had sent this to be distributed. They're Turtle Ridge, in, based out of Franconia, and they support youth and adaptive sports programs. And they what they do is they offer scholarship opportunities to different sports programs, and it is one of their funding mechanisms. And they were declined for nonprofit funding, and so they were hoping that there'd be another round of gap funding that would allow them to apply for support for their programs that they offer. So just in general, what I'm hearing is there's still a bit of a need out there for both in the for-profit and the not-for-profit arena, and I'm hoping that there would be a second round available at some point.
Yeah, I think those are excellent points, Representative, and of course, I think that it's been expressed pretty publicly that business and nonprofit support is an area where we are definitely seriously looking at what the options are for the remainder of the portion of the remainder of the resources. Okay, Senator D'Alessandro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a follow up on what Senator Moore said. When will we know definitively of the allocations that have been made, what has been spent, what's left added to the $200 million so that we could redeploy some of that money? I think that's a key ingredient as December 30th is coming a lot faster than we realize. Days pass very, very quickly. And as a result of that, it would be important for us to know people who have asked for some monies, for example, the Mascoma Community Health Center. And I was going to make a recommendation that Senator Morse and I have had conversation, and could we create a subcommittee of he and I to look into Mascoma, because they have a demonstrated need, and there seems to be some confusion as to what their application was and why their application was denied. So I think that is one item that I would like to suggest that we set up a committee on it, and we look into that and then get back to you ASAP. But indeed, the primary situations, with FEMA declining to support remittance on items, our education entities are in deep trouble because they've expended these monies with the full intention that they would be reimbursed by FEMA, but that's not going to take place. That's something I think we have to discuss today, how we're going to handle that. But getting a handle on what's spent, what's been allocated, what's been spent, and what's remaining is very, very important. And the other thing is, when a person applies or when an entity applies, what's the process by which the application is reviewed? I've had a number of complaints from people whose applications have been denied, and they don't know the why. So those are my queries. Thank you. And I ask that something set up with Senator Morse and I to look at this Mascoma community health situation, because from what I understand, looking at their numbers, they're in pretty desperate need at this point in time. And that's a service that affects the lives of a lot of people.
Thank you, Senator. A couple of questions in there. I think the first one with regard to the funding levels and the lapses and so forth, given my – I'm going to claim new guy status on this one because there's a lot of detail in there that predated me. I'm going to ask Joe Duran, our deputy here, to give you a little bit of insight on that question to start.
Good afternoon, Senator. As Director Little on the last call mentioned, on the last lab call, that we are – it's an ongoing process as we look – if you look at the weekly dashboards, you'll see three columns, allocated, expended, remaining. You'll see, you know, of course, the allocated amount versus the expended, you know, being a little higher. As money is given to different agencies or entities to administer these programs, there's, of course, a drawdown. So we're working with those entities and having good communication to see, you know, as numbers go out and as numbers come back in, where the spends are so that we can provide that to the lab. Jerry Little mentioned that we should have a better idea going into October. So, you know, in the second, third week of October. We're just working with these folks. I mean, we're still getting, you know, agreements finalized and everything with different programs. We have, as Director Caswell mentioned, about 50 programs and funds. So we're, you know, trying to do our due diligence to get the information to you all very quickly, but we also want to provide accurate numbers.
And I would say, Senator, with regard to the question on people and the process that's used to review these, it does, to some degree, depend on the program, how they're being reviewed. But in every case, applicants who have been denied should be given reasons for their denial. And if that's not the case, I would be happy to get those names from you, and we would make sure that that's taken care of quickly. I would make that point as well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So with my other point about the Mascoma Community Health Center, they have been before us, and evidently, from what I hear, a mistake was made. They're in need. So is it possible to set up a subcommittee with Senator Morse and myself? I think both of us have heard from Mascoma, to look at them and to find out what's their real story there. And I know that their perception is they're in pretty desperate need, and they'd have to close shop if something wasn't done. So what about that?
I think that sounds well within your ability to do. If that's how you and Senator Morse want to proceed, we'd certainly be willing to work with you on that.
Mr. Chairman, this is Dick Hinch. So that we can make this proper, I would move that we designate a subcommittee consisting of Senator Morse and Senator D'Alessandro to look into the Mascanoma Community Health Center issues.
Is there a second to that?
Reagan seconds.
All right. Any discussion on that motion? If not, we could take a vote. Senator Susie?
Yes.
Speaker Shurtleff? We'll come back to him. Senator Morse?
Yes.
Representative Hinch?
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro?
Yes.
Representative Waldman?
Yes.
Senator Reagan?
Yes.
Representative Hennessy?
Hennessy, yes.
And going back to Speaker Shurtleff?
Yes.
Very good. So that motion passes. So we'll move forward with that motion to establish subcommittees and look at the Mascoma situation. All right. Going back to the discussion on our previous discussion, I think I had Senator Susie had a question in that regard. Senator, you still have a question?
Yes. Certainly, I echo the sentiments of our Finance Committee Chair, Senator D'Alessandro. I do think there is a growing frustration, and I certainly grant you the new person on the call status today, but just understand there is a concern because of the urgency to spend the money, and I think all of us are fielding requests from organizations that felt that they didn't have the opportunity to cure if their applications were found deficient. One of the questions that's been posed to me is how we are dealing with multi-state organizations and PPP loans, the issues of forgiveness and what's allowable given that some organizations are multi-state seems to be rather concerning, and I wondered if you could give us any insight or anyone on the team could as to how that's being addressed.
Senator, on the PPP issue, I believe that's a federal program. The SBA administers that. I'm not familiar with any specifics on that program.
Well, if I could, certainly. And I didn't mean how the committee was dealing with dispensing the PPP, but as part of my understanding is that what organizations have received from PPP has factored into decisions such as for gap funding and others. So that was more what the question was. I should have explained more thoroughly.
So basically, Senator, all other COVID spending is deducted when we go through the business support programs and make the final assessment on the grant amount. So there's various components to that. It has to do with revenue thresholds and so forth, but there's also an assessment done of other programs and other funding that has been received by the applicant as part of the final decision. And the exact formula is really program-specific.
Sure. So to the extent that someone still has questions, perhaps I know one of them was a healthcare entity. Perhaps that's something that Senator D'Alessandro and Senator Morse could also look at as the instance of entities that are multi-state that may have been receiving different amounts towards their individual state operations. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I would also say, Senator, if there are, again, specific organizations that you'd like us to look into, by all means, get those to me or anyone on our team, and we will look into that and get back to you as at least a starting point for that type of
Great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. One of the things, Senator, you mentioned about moving the money out the door, I will say that as I came into this position now about 2 weeks ago, we've made it quite a point to make sure that we're moving as much money as swiftly as we can out the door, and I think we're pretty well complete with the GAP fund and with the NERF fund, and we've made very good progress on a number of other programs and kind of getting people in gear to get those resources out the door. And in large part, that's done in order to be able to get to the point of get that good number in terms of what the lapses might be and what other resources might be necessary out of the reserve funds, so that when we do come back and give you guys – a good assessment here, that it's as accurate as possible. So, you know, we've got multiple jobs here, which is obviously to keep an eye on the funds that are here, but to also adequately get those funds out the door and deployed into the hands of people that need them as quickly as we possibly can and efficiently. And that plays not just to their benefit, but also to the benefit of our ability to give you the answers you're looking for. All right.
Thank you.
You bet, Senator. I have Speaker Shurtleff with a hand raised.
Well, Commissioner, welcome to this group. It's good to have you with us. Commissioner, I just want to go back and talk about the Muscoma Community Health Center for one more moment. I thank Senator D'Alessandro for bringing up the idea of the subcommittee to look at the needs of Muscoma, and apparently there was a problem with their application. Instead of getting the $300,000 they were looking for, they got $6,500. My concern right now is that from what I've heard from them, November 1st, they're going to have to lock their doors because they're going to run out of funding, and that means 4,300 patients are going to look for new health care providers in the Canaan area. And we know what transportation issues there are in our rural parts of the state. I don't know how long it's going to take for the senators to come up with the recommendation to come back to us, and I don't know how long it's going to take once our recommendation is made, and if we should make a motion, how long it's going to take the governor and the CARES funding to be cut for Muscoma. So I would make a motion that this group recommend to the governor that they provide $100,000 to the Muscoma Community Health Center so that they can keep their doors open past November 1st and allow this committee to look to see if they need further funding from CARES. So that would be my motion, to allocate $100,000 to Muscoma to keep them functional past November 1st.
Okay, that's a motion. Do you have a second on that motion?
Second that motion.
Very good. So with the discussion, one thing I might mention, thank you for that, Speaker Shurtleff. One area that I think I might suggest is that if Senator D'Alessandro and Senator Morse wanted to move swiftly on their own analysis of the Muscoma situation, and I think we've all had an opportunity to look at least briefly at the materials that we sent around, I would be happy to engage immediately with the two of them to give the feedback from our staff here on the Gopher side of the equation, and there is a side to that story that I think would get us toward a quick resolution of this, maybe even within a couple of days, if that was amenable to the committee. Because I just want to be clear that from our standpoint, you know, we've had an opportunity to look at and review that there has, you know, we haven't treated Muscoma any differently than any other applicant that we've had in this category. And I haven't myself had a chance to go too deep into it, but from what I can see, from what was provided to the Gopher organization, the current award amounts are correct. If there's further discussion to have on that, I'm certainly always willing to have that conversation, but I think I just want to make it clear that there's no difference in how their application has been treated than any other application we've received. I think the idea of having Senator D'Alessandro and Senator Morse have a subcommittee look into that is a great idea, and we would be very willing to work with them on a very short timeline to accommodate the goal, I think, of that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner. Based on your proffer, I would withdraw my motion for the $100,000. I think there probably may have been problems with their applications to Gopher, and in the fall may not lie with the state of New Hampshire. It may be those that filled out the application. Apparently, they're all volunteers in the Greater Canaan area, so trouble may have happened in that application that it could have been on the side of the applicants. But with your comment on expediting this, I would withdraw my motion and hope that we act on this quickly. so that a great health care facility for our folks in Southern Grafton County can remain open.
Very good. I would welcome that, Senator. I mean, Speaker, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
This is Senator. I think it was the intention of Senator. As possible on this particular request because of the urgency of the request.
Thank you, Senator.
Yeah, I just like for my two cents, and I did hit this five-star thing, but I'm not sure that works all the time. I spoke with Senator D'Alessandro about this issue. I didn't want to have this whole meeting go into a four-hour meeting because I've talked to many of you about the benefits of doing this in our meeting. I assured him the only discussion was how do we handle getting together, whether it's in person or a call. I will make myself available to get through the process. And I do think Taylor understands. I've had many people call me. I've got them funding, they just want to understand the process. As I dealt with Jerry and Taylor many times, they've explained to me, that these people can call this, they can call us, and we can review this, and we can, so they understand it better. I think that's the case here with Soma. I think Lou and I can get together, bring in the right people, and determine, if our committee wants to go and do something. But what I'm concerned about, and let me make this clear, I don't want to become the review committee for everyone because, like the Senate President said, we're getting calls from a lot of people. I mean, and a lot deeper conversations than I would understand about their financials. And I don't have any problem looking into this one. They went to a high level of detail to present to us, much like the hospital, and I think we do have to figure out how we're going to handle the hospitals in the future, but probably not today. But I'll work on Mascoma with Lou this week, and, whatever we decide on our last thing of setting the next schedule, I'll live up to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck.
Very good.
That makes sense.
All right. Thank you, Senator. I have a hand raised with Senator Reagan.
My only question was, is the problem that Mascoma's problem is not COVID-related?
I'm sorry, you broke up on that. Could you just repeat the question, Senator?
My curiosity was Mascoma's problem not COVID-related? So I'll leave that up to the other two gentlemen to decide.
Very good. We'll make a note of that question, Senator, and make sure we take a look at that as well. Are there any other questions from members of the committee? All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Wallner. Representative Wallner, I showed a hand raised there.
I'm sorry. I'm in the car, so I lost connection here for a little while. The question I have is, we move forward, we have allocated close to $1 billion in funding. As we know, some of it is not being drawn down as rapidly as we thought. Has there been any discussion with the federal government about what happens when we reach December 31st? What happens to any funding that is left at
Hi, Representative. I think the question that I heard is that has there been any discussion with the federal government with regard to what happens to funds that are left as of December 30th? Is that right?
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Sorry. They're picking up just a little bit. But so, yeah, obviously this is a big question, and it's a question that we, in a conversation that we are integrating into all the decisions that we are making right now. And I think as far as, you know, my earlier comments about making sure that we are able to deploy and move those resources out is also in part to avoid any potential issues with that deadline being held firm on December 30th. I would note it's the 30th and not the 31st, that's obviously a big part of the thought process, both as it relates to existing programs and getting those funds deployed, but also in terms of operationalizing new funds and the ability to be able to move those now that as we are at the end of September. So with specific regard to that, though, I think that there is an expectation that funds that do not that have not been expended or have not been expended for the purposes that are very clear within the CARES Act, that those will ultimately have to go back as it stands right now. So we want to get those done. You're very welcome.
Thank you. I think it would be good if we continue to inquire of the federal government about those funds, about the leftover, if there are any leftover funding, and how we might move very rapidly to get the funds out. Thank you.
Very good. All right. Any questions from the committee on that subject? All right.
Commissioner, this is Erin Hennessy. I'm just having a difficult time hearing. Could you just remind people to put their mute on when they're not speaking, please? Thank you.
Yes, I will echo Representative Hennessy's request that everyone, if you're not speaking, please put yourselves on mute. It makes it a little easier to hear it. Okay, so the next item that we have on our agenda today is regard to funding for education IT needs. And I am told that this is a subject that Senator D'Alessandro inquired with regard to. If there's some conversation that is due to follow up on previous conversations, you'll again have to forgive me for not having been a participant in the previous conversations, but certainly willing to facilitate any discussion on that subject, Senator.
Excuse me. Thank you. As we know, education has been given a significant financial burden to meet with the reestablishment of education K through 12. Additional expenses have been occurring at a very rapid rate. There was a time when FEMA was going to take care of these spends. FEMA sent a notice out to all of the supervisory unions that FEMA was not going to cover these expenses. The expenses are still occurring. Now, in the city of Manchester, the expenses are in the millions of dollars. And I'm sure my colleagues, having spent time with their school districts, know that these expenses are being incurred in order to facilitate either the hybrid situation or the virtual learning situation. These expenses have to be covered. So my suggestion was we take the unexpended monies that were allocated for broadband, transfer those, and allow the communities to access those funds to cover the costs that they have incurred because of the COVID situation in bringing their schools back. And that's something that's on an ongoing basis. That's a quick summary of where we're at. And I venture to say that everyone on this call has received a call from their school district about the costs incurred and about that notification from FEMA that those costs were not going to be taken care of by FEMA. So my suggestion remains that we find the money to to reimburse for these COVID-related expenses, and that the one fund that seems to be available is the $50 million that was set aside for broadband, which I don't think is entirely depleted. And we take those monies that have been unexpended and make them available to the schools. I mean, that's as briefly as I can state the case. And if there are questions, I'll be happy to address them.
Okay. I'm seeing Senator Susie with a question or comment.
Yes, actually a question of my colleague, Senator D'Alessandro. The way the wording of the agenda item is, it would appear that the suggestion is to limit the transfer of those funds just for IT, but based on your comment, Senator, those funds could be used by school districts to supplement what was intended, such as PPE or other things that we thought were covered by FEMA. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Madam President. All of those expenses that were COVID-related that were previously going to be reimbursed by FEMA.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Very good. Thank you, Senator. Senator Reagan.
I have 11 towns and a commensurate number of school districts, and I haven't heard a problem relating to this from any of the schools in my district. And some of the schools are accumulating surpluses from all the expenses that they are not incurring because they've locked the children out of the school.
All right. Thanks, Senator. Senator Morse?
Yes, like Senator Reagan, Salem did have a savings. However, when they went through their budget process, they were using what they expected from FEMA. They did two things. One, I think they, in their new budget, they directed money back to the taxpayers, and they basically were spending. So they have told me they have a shortfall, and they're going to have to go back and rearrange the deck. I'm just curious, because that's not what the question was on the agenda today. Taylor, maybe there's a way at our next meeting that you could present to us where the schools are at in the state of New Hampshire. I do agree there's been a huge savings in a lot of these districts because of busing and heat, light, and electricity, everything. I mean, you know, no substitute teachers, all kinds of things. But I guess the fact that FEMA is not involved, maybe we start with why aren't they involved, and maybe there's been people working on solving that. I don't know, because that's originally what this committee thought was going to happen, to be honest with you. So maybe we could put that on the agenda next time, and you could tell us how it's being worked out. Because I did hear from Salem, which is my biggest community, and it's an issue now because they planned around what they thought they were getting. So.
Thank you, Senator. Of course, we would be very willing to be able to put together a discussion for our next meeting, particularly as it relates to the state of the education funding, at least from our perspective. For the committee, we can definitely have that on the agenda for next time. I could certainly talk to you about some others that we might want to have part of that conversation. All right. Any other questions on this subject, or is there any action? Okay. If there's no further discussion on that issue, we can certainly move on to our next item. Okay. So the next item has to do with the Snowmobile Association. I believe this is Representative Hennessy on a tabled motion to bring funding to the Enhanced Snowmobile Association. Is that accurate, Representative?
Yes, thank you. So last, just for everyone's review, last meeting we heard from Dan Gould, and my understanding is of the 101 clubs throughout the state, only a few received funding from the GAP fund. We were waiting to find out if a lot of the clubs were going to receive funding and if there was still going to be a need. So I know in their initial ask that we received last meeting was over $500,000 related to several different categories. And my hope is we can give a little initial funding to them to get the grooming and repairs done before the snow flies, with the hope that more funding would be available later on if some of it frees up. So with that, I will make the motion that we recommend the allocation of $154,000 of CARES Act funds to the New Hampshire Snowmobile Association to distribute to their clubs to cover the costs of annual maintenance related to grooming, and that's grooming equipment, and that is because they were not able to raise funds because of COVID. Their fundraisers were canceled this year.
Very good. Thank you, Representative. Is there a second to that motion?
This is Dick Hinch. I'll second that motion.
Very good. And could you just, Representative, restate the motion one more time for the record?
Sure. We recommend the allocation of $154,000 of CARES Act funds to the New Hampshire Snowmobile Association to cover the cost of annual maintenance and repairs on trail grooming equipment.
All right. Thank you. Want to make sure I had that correctly. Is there any discussion on this motion? If not, then I guess we'll go right to the roll. Senator Susie.
Yes.
Speaker Shurtleff.
Yes.
Senator Morse.
Yes.
Representative Hinch.
Yes.
Senator D'Alessandro.
Oh.
I'm sorry, Senator. What was your vote?
No.
No. Thank you. Representative Wallner.
No.
Senator Reagan.
Yes.
And Representative Hennessy.
Yes.
Okay. So that vote had two no's and the rest were yeses. So that motion passed. Very good. Let's see. Going to our agenda, the next item we have in here is to decide on a next scheduled meeting. And again, I think that there are some options here. I believe we've been running on a monthly meeting schedule, which we're certainly happy to continue. Are there any other thoughts of members of the committee on the meeting schedule?
Well, I think with the urgency of the Mascoma situation, we should be meeting, if it is meeting for that particular item, we should meet expeditiously. Senator Morse and I can get that done maybe by the end of the week, so we meet next week over this situation.
Okay. I see Senator. Thank you, Senator. I see Senator Susie has her hand raised.
Yes, I had the same concern. I think we should do a regular monthly meeting, but I do think we should meet next week to deal with that item. And I think we do have to have a presentation from the schools. So if we did a limited agenda with just those two items.
All right. Is there any other discussion on that item?
No. Taylor, why don't we
I mean, if everybody, we don't have to check the schedules right now, but if Tuesday afternoon seems to work, I think we could come back on the 6th, and then I think we do our monthly meeting on the 27th, if that works.
That can work for us, Senator. That works for everybody.
The only thing I want to caution everybody about, because I heard from a bunch of you, the agenda today, if we're going to do new things, you know, let's do it ahead of time so that we're not, you know, like, I don't have a problem coming back about education on the 6th that can be put together. But let's not come back with 10 other things, because if we can keep these meetings to an hour, I think maybe we can accomplish something like building subcommittees and things like that, because the level of detail that we need to make a decision, I think, needs to be done outside of calls. I think that's an important part of it. But if we can come back on the 6th and come back on the 27th, I think that works for me and hopefully everyone.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. I see Representative Hinch has his hand raised.
Yes. I just want to point out that on the 6th at 2 o'clock, Senate President Soucy, Leader Morse, Speaker Shurtleff, and myself will be tied up at 2 o'clock. So if we're able to do it at 1 o'clock, if that works for people's schedules, because, again, at 2 o'clock, the four of us will be tied up.
Duly noted. Thank you, Representative. So I'm hearing that we would like to have the committee come together on the 6th at 1 p.m., and that we would also schedule, for the purposes of the review of the Senator D'Alessandro and Senator Morse's look into the Mascoma situation, and that we would also, keep to our regular scheduled meeting of the 27th. Did I hear of October for our regular meeting? And we'll come up with a time, but probably in that same time frame somewhere to discuss. And we will include the education discussion on that at that time. If that works, we'll just go with that.
Great. Could we also have the second round of gap funding discussed at that time for the 27th?
Absolutely. I think we'll have some pretty good information to discuss at that point. And hopefully we'll have enough information as well, Senator, to get more into some of the exact numbers as we're seeing as to what's remaining within the CARES Act funds that we were.
That would be great. That would be great.
All right.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect.
Great. Okay. Any other issues or questions anybody wants to raise, Senator? I'm sorry, Representative Wallner. I see your hand raised.
Yes, thank you. I get concerned about the date of the 27th. I mean, that only leaves us 2 months. There are still a number of areas that we haven't made any decisions about, the hospitals being one of them. And if on the 27th, we only really have 2 months until the funding is supposed to be sent down, and I know how long it has taken once we have made a decision to allocate funds to a certain area. I know that it has taken several weeks then to get the providers of those services in contract and to get the money out to them. So I'm concerned that when we wait until the 27th of October and then we're getting into holidays, we wait that long to hear from some of these groups who feel that they still have gaps in funding. I would really like to see us either have a heavier agenda on the 6th or an additional meeting to start to look at some of these areas and to take votes on some of them.
Thank you, Representative. Would you want to move the education conversation to the 6th and have that done prior to the 27th and leave the other items that we discussed for the 27th? Would that work?
I think that would be a good discussion to have on the 6th. I think that would be a decision that we would be able to make on the 6th.
Very good,
Commissioner Caswell. This is Representative Hinch again. Again, I heard Representative Wallner's request, but again, I want to point out that at 2 o'clock, Senator Susie, Senator Morse, Speaker Shurtleff, myself will be in another meeting at 2 o'clock. So if we make the agenda too heavy, then we're going to have an issue with bumping into the next meeting.
Would it be possible to start at noon on the 6th?
That can work for my schedule. It depends on everybody else.
I'm fine with no. So if that works.
All right. So what I'm hearing is we'll do 12 o'clock now on the 6th, and we will add a discussion on education to that conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome, Representative. Okay. As a reminder to everybody to mute their phone, we're getting some feedback. Okay, so with that, I think that's the end of our regular agenda. One thing we would require, I think, is to, on the motion that passed from Representative Hennessy with regard to the snowmobiles, to please get us the written request over. Again, I'm being told that's how this process works, so we'll use the usual process if something comes over to Rhonda, right? Okay, so if there's nothing else, I think we've reached the end of our agenda. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll look forward to talking to you on October 6th.
Thanks, Taylor.